Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
All of my Christian life, and when I say all, I mean literally probably all, not just all as covering everything, but literally all of my experience in the church at the point of where I experienced Christ for salvation, always saw and heard and it talked about amongst believers about how we want to see miracles. We want to see people healed. We want to see them delivered. And I want you to know that this morning, there are people in this room who all of us are acquainted with real life. The things that sometimes rob us, the things that sometimes come into our life and change our lifestyle, that is something that's problematic, and sometimes it's short-lived. Maybe it's a circumstance, a situation, whatever it is. And yet we believe God for the impossible, because we know that nothing is too difficult for Him, right? Nothing's too difficult for God. I want to remind you, and want to remind myself, that there's a very important ingredient that we sometimes forget for God to do something impossible. Impossible for us to do, not impossible for Him. When He does what is impossible for us, I want you to remember and remind yourself, for that to happen and for Him to display that power, there first has to be an impossibility. In other words, for there to be healing, there first has to be a sickness, right? And it's not that we're looking for sickness to happen, and it's not that we're looking for something problematic to happen, but we're acquainted with real life. You know, as the scripture says, it rains on everybody when it rains, whether you are just or unjust, whether you're a person of faith or you don't have faith in Christ. It rains on us all when it passes through town. And we know that there are things in this life that we don't expect, we don't anticipate, we certainly don't hope for, we certainly don't wish for, but we're acquainted with real life. And it's partly what faith is for. I mean, why have faith if we don't have to believe for anything? Right? Just to tote it around as if it's an accessory that just says faith? I have faith. I don't have to face any impossibilities, but, you know, I got faith. Impossibility, challenge, problematic things draw faith from us. If we have it, it's our answer to what we face. So let me ask you, why is it that you and I want to see healing? Why is it that we want to see miracles? Now, listen, we can come up with a lot of good answers. You know, we can come up with answers that say, so that those who don't believe can see that God does this. And now they go from unbelief to believing. I know that that can happen. I know that that does happen. We know that's how some came to faith in Christ when we look at the historical accounts in the Gospels. Is that we want God to do it so that those who don't have faith can see that we believe correctly. These are not necessarily bad motives, and we can come up with a multiplicity. We can try to be real spiritual and say, well, just so God gets all the glory. I want to maybe, for us in this room who are believers in Christ, call our motivation into question. of why we so desperately want to see healing, see miracles, see God do the supernatural. Because as I look at the Father in heaven, as I look at Christ, there is a motivation, one of the motivations that seems to move to the forefront in who they are. And maybe not always at the forefront of who we are. And I want you to consider this morning as we look at this, that those who want to prove to others through the wonders and signs of God, to prove to others that we ourselves believe correctly, I want you to know that there are those who saw miracles that Jesus did. You can find it in the Gospel of John, chapter 12. It says that they saw miracles that Jesus did, and they still did not believe. Some did. But there are those who still don't believe. It's as if we say, if God showed up right now and did this, I'd believe in Him. There are those who are always looking for a sign. Jesus spoke to those. You can find it in Matthew, Mark, and in Luke. Different references. Where He responded to the crowd and said, you are an adulterous and perverse generation because you are always looking for a sign. He says, the only sign that you will have is the sign of Jonah. And some go, sign of Jonah? Jonah happened in the Old Testament. Well, very quickly, Jonah spent how many days in the belly of a whale? And then he was gently repelled upon the shore from, you know, this large fish. I said whale because, you know, that's what we learn in Sunday school. And I don't want to shatter your, you know, mainline teaching that maybe it wasn't a whale, it was just a large fish. Please don't get hung up on that this morning. I can't believe that pastor doesn't think it was a whale. It's a large fish, great fish. Maybe it was a whale. And the parallel is that Jesus will, at that point when He said it, will be crucified, dead and buried, and on the third day raised from the dead. He said that's the only sign that you will be given. Let me ask you something. Is that sign good enough for you? Is that sign good enough for me? We may look at our motivation to want to really see God do something supernatural so that maybe it helps my faith. You know, the way we do things in our life is we kind of try something for the first time, and if we accomplish it and do it, we walk away with confidence, knowing that I've done this before, now I can do it again. And it encourages me to go a little bit further and try something even greater. If you bench press 250 pounds and you can do it once, you made the 250 pound club. I've made the 250 pound club, but it wasn't by bench pressing, it was just by what I weighed at one time. Some of you are wondering if I'm still there. Watch it. Come on, I just come off the holidays. Got to have some kind of excuse, right? And we kind of build confidence that way. And I think that is a good thing. And I think that there's part of that. And when we see God do something, it kind of encourages us. But is it based upon only seeing God do something before we express faith? God, I'll believe in you if you do this first. The scripture is fairly plain that some believe because they saw Him. But He says, and God's Word says, blessed are those who believe and have not yet seen. That there is an additional blessing. There is some type of approval. There is some type of extra something that happens for those who express faith first without seeing. When I look at the Father in heaven, His motivation to do the supernatural and the healing and the deliverance for people is first found in His compassion for the broken. It's not that God has to try to prove something to us. It's not even, well, you know, in the Garden of Eden, there was Satan tempted and man fell into sin. Well, I'm going to show that old devil, I'm going to send my son to die on a cross. Listen, this wasn't about a competition between God and Satan. Because I will tell you this, there is no competition. There's no competition. God is the highest authority of all. He always was, is, and will be. It is who He is. It can't be taken from Him. And all authority and power has been given unto His Son, Jesus Christ. There is no competition. Do you know why He sent His Son? It wasn't to prove something to the enemy of darkness. It says that He sent His Son because He loved us. For God so loved, John 3:16, you know it. For God so loved the world that He gave. It does not say God was so ticked off at Satan and wanted to prove a point, so He sent His Son. It is that God is motivated by His love and by His compassion for those of us who have been lost, who have been broken, who experience real life. I want you to look at these passages with me. And these are just a couple. In Matthew chapter 9, and I'm going to go there quickly. You can turn in your Bible if you'd like, or you can write it down and check it out later. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, it says, "And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction. When He saw the crowds, He had compassion for them." Because they were harassed, they were helpless, they were like sheep without a shepherd. Was He just motivated to show the glory and show the power? He was moved by His character, the character of His Father, who God is, that His motivation was that the oppressed would be set free. I want you to look over in Matthew chapter 14. It says in verse 13, "Now when Jesus heard this," heard what? He just heard, news got reported to Him that John the Baptist was beheaded. "When Jesus heard this, He withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by Himself." But when the crowds heard, they followed Jesus on foot from the towns. When He went ashore, He saw a great crowd. Now I want you to get the picture. He heard the news about John the Baptist. He goes to a desolate place, gets in the boat, and He's out by Himself. And as He's coming to shore, He sees crowds of people. People who heard that He went out. And they started to travel from towns, hoping, watching, where is He going to come to shore? It as he approaches and he went to shore, he saw a great crowd. And he had compassion on them and healed the people who were sick. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go to the villages and buy food for themselves." And Jesus said to them, "They don't need to go away. Give them something to eat." The compassion, the caring that Jesus reveals that is in the character of his Father and why he was sent. That though Jesus receives bad news, and Jesus could grieve about John the Baptist, and he could go away by himself, and you know, we all kind of get into that, things happen sometimes to us, around us, that affect us, and we just want to withdraw, and it's like, leave me alone. Somebody knocks on the door, not now. You, the phone rings, you don't take the call, you just kind of, you know, this is about me right now. Well, Jesus withdraws and the crowd finds him. And he doesn't start changing the direction he's rolling. He saw the crowd and had compassion on them and healed their sick. You and I may want to see the healing and the miraculous that God does to prove a point. We may want to see it to encourage our own faith. We may want to see it so that others have the opportunity to believe, as if that is the be-all, end-all experience to transporting us from being lost to found. I want to tell you something this morning. It is not about whether healing and miracles happen in this place so that we can brag about our church. About there's healing at our church. How carnal and corrupt can it be that we would say something like that? It is about telling about what God has done. It can tell about His glory and goodness. You can tell about how it maybe happened at church or in a small group or you went to visit with someone. But don't taint what God does by taking some type of ownership of it, or rubbing it in someone else's face, or saying, "Well, we have faith and you don't." That's not the proper use. Because I want you to know it's about the compassion. It's not about seeing a healing here. It's not about seeing a deliverance here. It is about the motivation that is filled with compassion towards people. It is about God do a miracle so this man, this woman, this child can be set free. So that they can know what a rest is. They can know what a day is and a week is and a month is and now the rest of their life, however long it should be, that they would not be harassed with this disease or with this sickness. It's about being moved with the character and the virtue of God with compassion. It's not about, "Well, I'm going to pray for them." Let's not get tangled up in all of this. It is simply a crying out to the compassion of God through faith in Jesus Christ that the sign of His resurrection is enough. But through that resurrection, there is something that has been offered to us in the way of salvation and divine healing. And the list goes on of the benefits that we have. In the outpouring of His Spirit, a baptism of power, that God's power can flow through our life. Not because of our righteousness, but because of His compassion for those who need the power to touch them. Let's not confuse it. You and I need to be calling out for the miracles and for the healing of God Not so that we can see it, not just so that others can see it, but so the person who is oppressed can be set free. That's what it's about. It's why He came. To seek and save the lost. To heal the brokenhearted. To heal us of every disease. It's about the person next to you who's hurting. It's the person in front of you and behind you and down the pew who's hurting, who needs a powerful touch from God. I want our motivation to be clear. It's not because it's not bad that we want to see His glory. It's not bad that we want to see a miracle. But don't be seeking the sign. Be seeking God on the behalf of someone hurting that they can receive the answer that you have been trying to get them by your prayers to God for them. Whether you let anyone else know that you were involved or not. It's encouraging to say, hey, listen, you've been on my mind, I've been praying for you. We all say those things. But when someone, the manifested healing comes to them, and they give thanks to the Lord, and they're free, we don't have to run to them right away and say, by the way, I was praying for you. We're just supposed to be grateful and happy and rejoice in the Lord that they've been delivered. Let our primary motivation be about the person, not about trying to see God's power show up. I believe His power will show up if we get ourselves out of the way and seek Him in the purest way with His help to have a compassion upon those who are struggling, those who are broken, those who are sick, those who need a deliverance from a habit, those who need a deliverance from a disease, those who need deliverance from themselves. Oh, let me explain. We all need some deliverance from ourselves. Sometimes the enemy of our soul needs no help. It's our own corruption within us. Listen, the Lord wants to heal your relationships. Let me tell you why that's even more of a miracle than a physical healing. Because when it comes to healing relationships, He's dealing with people's wills. Their decision, their choice to say no, or I will not put my pride aside, or I'm not talking about that with her or him. It's too embarrassing. It should have been solved a long time ago. Now time has gone on. And we reject the healing and the principles of His Word because we are getting in the way and we refuse to be healed. Listen, you and I do not have to live, most of us, we do not have to live like we are. If we will put faith in Him and obey Him and put ourselves aside and do what's right, healing would manifest in our life, in our relationships. You're saying, oh, but that has to do with the will of another person too. Yes, but if they are in this room and are of the same faith, they are called to the same accountability. It's not for you to point it out to them. Let the Lord do that with them. So if you're in this room and you have broken relationship or it's not what it should be, will you be moved with compassion for that person enough to approach them Talk with them. Listen to them. And allow healing to take place in your home, in your friendships, in your parenting, in your marriage, whatever it is. This morning, those who are sick, those who need healing, maybe it's healing from your past. Some of you feel like you've gained and changed from the things of your past, and you've come a long ways, and the Lord has led you in it, and you've cooperated, and you've put effort towards it. And you come to a place where, well, this is better than it was. This is good enough. I want to encourage you to be totally, completely delivered from it. Because you may think that you've been totally transformed compared to what you were or what I was. But there are those who are closest to you who still see where you're not transformed completely. And it's not that they're passing judgment on you. It's that they see this. And you know what? For your own sake, not just theirs, but for your sake, they want to see you completely set free, that you can love like you've never loved before, that you don't have to continue to carry the old patterns in your new life in Christ. Let's be real honest. I know I do. We all need changing still. We all probably need to be moved with a little more compassion and get our eyes off ourselves, get our eyes off of the I've always got to be right. Get your eyes off of, I'm the man, therefore. He's not nice to me, so I'm not going to be nice to him. Oh yeah, that's right. That's in the scripture somewhere, right? I think it's in the book of Hezekiah. Will you and I just be humble and not worry about what people think or trying to do something spiritual to achieve some kind of well-being within us? Our well-being comes from our relationship with the Lord. And when it comes to wanting seeing the miracles and the healing, let our primary motivation be so the person who is struggling can go free. He came so that you and I could be free. And who the Son of God sets free is free indeed. I'd like you to stand, please, all over this room. And I want you to be moved this morning by compassion. Compassion for the hurting, for the broken, for the sick. Listen, I know most of us in this room, it's like, I don't want anybody to know I'm sick or weak. I'm fine. There's probably a few in this room who says, well, when I'm sick or something's wrong, I just want everybody to notice. Oh, no, I'm okay. Or we got to go tell everybody. I'm not saying that we can't tell. I'm just saying that those two extremes are filled with us. Let's put it aside and let's get free. Let's be healed. Let's be delivered. if it's not a physical ailment, but it's an internal thing in your soul that is sick, broken, not functioning in accordance with God's plan, purpose, or will, or His character, then we need to be delivered of it. And we need to walk out understanding, not, well, I'll see if I'm delivered of it. No, you walk like a delivered person, and it's the expression of your faith. You walk with humility before God and with one another. I want Him to heal this morning. I know that you all hear the stories too. Just because maybe I'm a pastor or people are desperate or they trust me or whatever it is. Stories of, I'm sick, I need healing, I'm broken, my relationships are no good. Here I am a believer, I come to church, but if you knew how it was behind the closed doors of our home, I want Him to pour out His compassion on you this morning. And I want those who maybe aren't in need this morning to be moved by compassion. That it's not about what we pray. It's not about, are we going to see a miracle? It's about seeking God's blessing on behalf of another. It's about the impossibilities in our life, stepping into faith and saying, God, if it's because of sin, show me and I'm sorry. Help me. If it is just because it rains on the just and the unjust, I ask that you'd heal me. If it's something I have done in my life or I am a reciprocant of what someone else has done or whatever the circumstance, it's not about blame. It's about getting and receiving the blessing of being set free.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.